Questions over a 10-year-old tax issue, cloud debate over a senior village loan, and the recreation center expansion is back before the Skagway Assembly. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. At a Finance Committee meeting in January, two Haynesboro Assembly members were receptive to a loan request from the Haynes Senior Village. In the village's case to the borough, they brought up $30,000 they thought was owed to the village from a past borough tax oversight. But that piece of the argument is in question. The Senior Village Board has asked the borough for a $350,000 low-interest loan. The nonprofit board says it's in over its head with two mortgages that need to be paid off by 2026. They say without the borough's help, they may need to refinance the second mortgage and raise rents for residents, many of whom live on fixed incomes. Doris Peck is one of 15 seniors living at the village. She asked the assembly members to support them.
Seniors are not a liability. We are an asset to the community.
While making their case to the borough, the senior village brought up a past property tax issue. The borough charged the village property tax despite it being tax exempt for about 20 years. When the mistake was discovered, the borough reimbursed the village about $30,000. That was 10 years ago. The current village board thought there was another $30,000 that the borough did not pay back. And when they approached the borough about the loan, that was one argument for it. At the Finance Committee meeting, Assemblymember Tom Morfitt said because of the tax mistake, the borough had a moral obligation to the village.
I see this as a kind of restitution for non-payment of that other $30,000.
Borough Finance Director Gila Stewart cautioned the assembly members against the loan.
I think the borough needs to stay in its lane. The borough provides municipal services, the borough taxes, and I think the borough is not a bank. They're not a lending institution. They're not in that business. There's lots of other organizations that do lend money, including ones in this town.
After the meeting where the tax issue was raised, Stewart did some research. She wanted to get to the bottom of whether the borough did only repay half of the taxes it mistakenly charged. When the senior village was first built and started operating, Haynes was still separated into a city and borough. Records show that the borough decided to exempt the village from taxes. But Stewart says records show that the city had not exempted the village. When the city and borough consolidated, the new borough included a property tax exemption for the village. But the borough kept mistakenly charging the village taxes. In 2006, the mistake was discovered. The borough refunded the about $32,000 in overpaid taxes between 1996 and 2005. Minutes from a senior village board meeting showed the board did not request interest on the taxes because they accepted some responsibility for not catching the mistake. In conclusion, Stewart says the village's statement that the borough did not pay back half of the overpaid taxes is not true because the city never incorrectly charged them and the borough paid back what was owed. But Senior Village Manager Valerie McCandless says it's still not clear that the village wasn't exempt from city taxes.
From my reading of the documents, there were some notes from past city meetings, and there was nothing in there that specifically stated that the village was not tax exempt from the city taxes.
Senior Village Board Member Bill McRoberts said the confusion over the tax payment shouldn't be the focus of the discussion.
I don't know that other than being a piece of history of what happened and the confusion it caused and everything has any influence on what we want to do as far as a loan.
McRoberts and McCandless say no matter what happened in the past, their goal now is to persuade the assembly to invest in the village and grant the $350,000 loan. At the finance meeting in January, Assemblyman Mike Case was optimistic about the idea.
I am prepared to ask the full assembly to work on this, not to see what we can do, not just write a check right away, but see what we can do.
whether the disagreement about the 10-year-old tax issue factors into the assembly's decision on the loan remains to be seen. The village has requested a spot on the February 28th assembly agenda. A project that dominated Skagway Borough Assembly meetings about a year ago is back on the table. At a meeting Thursday, the committee working toward a recreation center expansion will present a new conceptual design to the assembly. Also Thursday, there is an ordinance set for introduction that updates Skagway code around animals. It adds new sections addressing animal cruelty, animal fighting, accidents involving injury to animals, and rabies immunization. The police department is requesting the changes. The assembly will decide what comments to submit on an application from White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad to widen a railroad embankment by putting fill in the Skagway River. Design documents for a Skagway River flood control dike are on the agenda, with the question of whether the assembly wants to take the project to 100% design. Engineers estimate the project would cost about $700,000. The dike would protect the Seven Pastures area where an outdoor arts facility was built a few years ago. The assembly is also set to discuss a number of other topics, including a mining conference attended by Skagway representatives, the future of the ferry dock, and deadlines for the port consultant project. The meeting is Thursday at 7 p.m. in assembly chambers. Most parts of the Pacific coastline will see an increase in commercial and charter fishing catch limits for halibut this year. The International Pacific Halibut Commission Friday approved a coastwide catch limit of 31.4 million pounds of the valuable bottom fish. That's an increase from just under 30 million pounds last year. KFSK's Joe Vicnicki reports.
Several parts of the coast were facing catch limit cuts based on alternatives presented this winter by IPHC scientists. However, commissioners ultimately voted to boost harvest limits instead of making reductions. Earlier on in the week-long meeting in Victoria, British Columbia, scientist Ian Stewart summed up results of an assessment of halibut stocks based on survey fishing and commercial catches.
What we're seeing this year is a slightly flatter trends than we saw last year. The stock assessment itself has come down just slightly in its estimate of overall spawning biomass. But the projections, the 1 to 3 year projections, are still suggesting that removals of around 40 million pounds are pretty close to the surplus production that's available from the stock.
Scientists say removing above 40 million pounds of halibut from the water each year gives a greater chance of stock declines in the future. Last year's total removals, which includes bycatch from other fisheries not targeting halibut, was just under 42 million pounds coastwide. For this year, commissioners approved a combined commercial and charter sport catch for Southeast Alaska Area 2C. Of 5.25 million pounds. That's an increase from just under 5 million last year. Commissioner Linda Benkin of Alaska noted that the 2C catch limit is below the amount recommended by the Commission's fishing and processing advisory boards.
I have also heard from Area 2C fishermen a strong commitment to slow rebuilding of the stock or to conservative catch limits to ensure we continue to rebuild stock, while setting the catch limits at a level that recognizes the strong rebuilding that we're seeing.
Benkin noted her desire for a more consistent harvest rate across all of Area 2, which stretches from Southeast Alaska to California, but she thought the numbers set by the commissioner were a step closer to that goal. Southeast Alaska commercial fishing groups have been concerned about the high level of harvest set for Area 2B in British Columbia without similar high harvest rates on this side of the border. There was some disagreement about the BC catch limit this year. Commission Chair Paul Rial of Canada moved to set the Area 2B limit at 7.45 million pounds, a small increase from last year.
2B has not experienced any of the declines in its survey or fishery indices that most other areas have experienced over the last 10 years.
The final number approved for British Columbia is also below the recommendations from fishing and processor advisory boards. Canadian commercial fishermen report strong catches and have lobbied for higher harvests. Jim Balsiger, commissioner from Alaska, was the only vote against the BC catch limit.
Every area has to contribute to rebuilding the stock from the low level that it's at now.
Commissioners also voted to start the season on March 11th and end it on November 7th. That start date is a compromise between an earlier date requested by fishermen and a later date sought by processing companies. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.